Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and another video shows another violent run-in between a New York City police officer and a suspect being arrested for a small underlying crime. Listen.
How you doing, officer?
He just pulled a gun on that man for no reason.
What is wrong? Look at your officer.
He can't do that, sir.
Yo, look at your officer. Did you see that?
Yo,
I've recorded it, OG. That's on record.
In this case, it was last week in Bed-Stuy. The officer was recorded there stomping a suspect's head, as it appeared on the video, with the suspect on the ground. And you heard the screams of onlookers in that clip and things like, he can't do that. Again, this was for a small underlying crime, marijuana possession, after officers in a patrol car saw the suspect Jamil El Kafi rolling a joint outside of his home. This, as the New York Times editorial board takes its first ever stand for repealing the federal marijuana laws. Maybe you saw that editorial over the weekend. We'll talk to the leader of a group now critical of Commissioner Bratton's emphasis on minor crimes. Jose Mar Trujillo joins us. He's from the group New Yorkers Against Bratton. Pretty straightforward name. Welcome to WNYC, Jose Mar Trujillo. Good morning.
Morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. To start out, your group, I understand, is calling for the resignation or firing of Commissioner Bratton. Already?
Yeah, we're calling for the resignation of Commissioner Bratton, an end to broken windows-based policing, and a federal investigation into a pattern of brutality at the NYPD. And we were out, actually, since December, when the appointment was announced, we've actually been pushing back against it. We were out there with the mother of Nicholas Hayward Jr., the father of Nicholas Hayward Jr., the mother of Anthony Baez, the mother of Anthony Rosario, since December, because we knew from the very beginning that Bratton should have never come back to begin with.
So this isn't new business for you. This is old business. You didn't like Bratton from his first tenure in New York City under Mayor Dinkins and Mayor Giuliani.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you'll find a lot of that sentiment, too, in communities of color that, maybe they understand what broken windows has meant to their lives, through marijuana arrests and all sorts of other things related to broken windows. And so we've been pairing up with people in communities of color to kind of push back against the narrative that Commissioner Bratton was ever kind of compatible with the reform narrative that's been kind of trotted out here in 2014.
And we'll get to broken windows in a minute and more of what that policy means and why you think it's not necessary now, if it was ever necessary at all. But Bratton has a pretty good reputation for reform and community relations. He was pretty popular, I think, the first time under Dinkins and Giuliani, and more so certainly than Giuliani was in the communities around the city. And then he had that reputation pretty strongly in L.A., where he came to clean up, a police department that had terrible relations with the community and got pretty high grades for that, and now coming in to repair the damage after stop and frisk under Ray Kelly. So is his reputation not generally pretty good in this respect?
Well, I think there's two points. The first point is that when it comes to the credibility, I think a lot of what the media focuses on is the words and the ideas of elected leaders or community leaders that were, that people think speak for the entire community. In the case of L.A., there were a couple of notable community leaders, but there was also groups like Los Angeles Community Action Network who, spoke out against Bratton from the very beginning. There were groups in Oakland that opposed his having a consulting job at the Oakland PD. There was even a group in Detroit when he was supposed to be also kind of a consultant for that police department that spoke out against it. So I think we have to differentiate between kind of what's the popular consensus, which may come from elected leaders or like high profile activists, and street level activists who have continued to oppose him since the 90s. And I think that a lot of that is also media spin. I was lucky enough to speak with a professor, Bernard Harcourt, who was very critical of broken windows. And he told me that a lot of this comes from the media spin that came from Giuliani and Bratton in the 90s, where they kind of gobbled up a lot of the credit for the reductions in crime. And he reiterated to me what other academics like Alex Vitale at the Brooklyn College has said, which is that academic research doesn't actually back up the claim that broken windows has a causal relationship to the reductions in crime. So I think a lot of this is due to media spin, and I think we have to be careful about when we say he has a lot of support in the community. He has support in the community from certain elected officials, not necessarily people at the grassroots level.
So, listeners, if you understand broken windows to mean you go after small crimes in order to prevent big crimes, have we had enough broken windows policing in New York City? Or is it something you want in your community? Because who wants the turnstile jumping? Who wants the aggressive panhandling? Who wants the graffiti? Who wants the drug deals on the street corner? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or call in to support Josmar Trujillo or engage him as he leads New Yorkers or participates in the group New Yorkers Against Bratton. Do you think Commissioner Bratton should already resign or be fired? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So on broken windows, he was successful by what you're going to say is media accounts and certain community leaders, I understand, using broken windows in bringing down crime in New York much faster than other places in the 90s. Crime was going down nationwide in the 90s as the crack epidemic was waning and for a few other very systemic reasons around the country. But it was faster in New York, and a lot of people credited broken windows with that and also to the drop continuing under Bloomberg for all those years with, I think, a similar approach. So do you want to discount it altogether, or do you want to say, look, now that we're at our safest streets in 50 years in New York City, we just don't need that level of vigilance anymore?
Well, I mean, I think that when you talk to criminologists, sociologists, and they talk about crime, it's a very complicated issue, and there's a lot of things that can go into it. Economic factors, a lot of people talked about the end of the open-air drug markets in New York City, that contributing a lot to the decline in crime. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. There's not one simple solution. And I think the narrative that it's just like a chemistry equation where you can just say you add, you know, a certain amount of policing or a certain style of policing and crime will automatically go down. I mean, that just is something that we've always opposed from the beginning. There are factors that go into crime that people don't want to necessarily talk about. And so policing is kind of charted out as like this kind of, you know, the solution that, you know, always seems to be in effect in communities of color and low-income communities. And, you know, there's other things in the conversation. We were speaking to families from West Harlem when they were talking about the Harlem raids that happened in June. And they were also talking, I think you had a guest on who spoke to it pretty convincingly, about that they were asking for all sorts of other resources that don't necessarily include law enforcement, and that was what they really were looking for their communities. So I think when you talk about how to lower crime or what lowers crime, you have to open up the conversation. And I think, unfortunately, with broken windows and with Bratton, it's just kind of, you know, he's kind of just seen as like the super cop that cleaned up New York City, and that's the kind of simple narrative. So we have to expand the conversation beyond policing.
Tim on Roosevelt Island, you're on WNYC. Hello.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Well, I guess my problem with the broken window policy, it was just too much of a difference between stop and frisk. I believe that too many officers who were part of stop and frisk are now part of this broken window policy, and some of them are, I guess, overzealous. They are, you know, I guess they're coming in a little strong-armed, and the fact is that they're being videoed, and now, you know, they're saying, like, they're doing it on minor crimes, not something major.
Mm-hmm. You know? Tim, thank you. So let me put Tim's statement as a question to you, Josmar. Is broken windows under Bratton, under de Blasio, a kind of replacement, as you see it, for stop and frisk under Ray Kelly and Bloomberg, which, you know, they both involve a lot of contact with very low-level offenders, And I guess one could argue that in the case of broken windows, at least they're pretty sure that the person is doing something. In stop and frisk, so many people were stopped without doing anything. So is this kind of a replacement for that? And it, is it at least a slight improvement for the reason that I said?
Well, I think that's a lot of people will say that. Will say that because, you know, stop and frisk is reportedly down, that the police have to kind of fill that gap of interactions, that they don't have those thousands and thousands of stops, stop and frisks anymore. They have to fill it with other interactions. So it could be like in the case of Eric Garner, it was, you know, selling Lucy's, although, you know, the video, there was no real evidence that he was selling at the time. Or it could be something like riding your bike on a sidewalk. Or in the case of, you know, the subways, we have crackdowns on subway performers. So there's definitely an extension of creating more interactions and more contact with kind of just like, you know, what we see is like a dragnet approach to policing, which is kind of you're fishing to see who's out there, who has a record, who you can catch up. The video that you were talking about in the beginning segment was, I think, about a marijuana arrest. So that's also considered, I think, a low-level crime as well. So I think that it definitely filled that void. But when you're talking about the police, we have a finite number of resources with police. So where they choose to put their resources or put their attention, that's a political decision.
Yeah. And so, in the case of that video and that man, you're right, 32-year-old Jamil El-Khafi, who was arrested in that incident that we played part of the tape of in Bed-Stuy, he was seen apparently rolling a joint outside his own home by police officers cruising by in a patrol car. At least this is the way I've seen it reported. So is it clear to you whether he would have even been prosecuted by the Brooklyn DA's office under their new policy of not prosecuting most low-level marijuana arrests?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of asterisks that come with that announcement from the Brooklyn DA. But I think that is that's an important point also about the kind of you see this knocking of the heads between Ken Thompson and Bratton, because I think just at an ideological level, Bratton's ideas and his ideology of broken windows is kind of incompatible with the idea of decriminalization. So when you're talking about decriminalization of marijuana or how you're going to prosecute them, you're going to have people like Bratton who are not going to be able to kind of let go of broken windows, which is, you know, 20 years old or over 20 years old at this point. And you're going to have this kind of like this weird, tension in politically, at least, where some people want to stop criminalizing people. And you'll have someone like Bratton who says, like, no, that's how we keep crime down. So you kind of have this juxtaposition.
We maybe should say that this contact, the physical contact between the police officers and Khafi seemed to be, to some degree, perpetrated by him resisting arrest. All three of the incidents on tape recently were ones in which the suspects were reportedly resisting arrest. This is not to justify the way the cop, apparently, according to the video, stomped on his head or what happened in the Eric Garner case. But cops are going to respond, and then some cops are going to go too far when police resist arrest. So there is some culpability on the part of the individual, right?
I think, your guests need to understand, or your listeners need to understand, is when you're living in communities of color, we're living in a different reality from a lot of other New York. And de Blasio's campaigned on this, A Tale of Two Cities. But when it comes to policing, when you hear Eric Garner say, you always see me, you always harassing me, and you see all these arrests on his record, so these incidents that you see on tape, which I might add, like, you know, filming cops or cop watching is kind of also done in part because a lot of the shortcomings of criminal justice media, but that's something else. These incidents don't happen in a vacuum. So in Eric Garner's case, he had just finally had enough, and he said, you're always pulling me in, you're always harassing me, you're always trying to arrest me, and it stops today. And what people in communities of color are saying is that at what point do you just say, like, I don't want to be arrested anymore? And so, you know, while resisting arrest is a crime by the letter of the law, mm-hmm. people have to understand the different realities that people of color face in this city when it comes to police harassment. And that's what brings about kind of the resistance that you might see.
And we do know that Garner was arrested numerous times, as you point out, for
violent crimes.
For the loose cigarettes. And Khafi repeatedly for marijuana possession, according to the report, to the reports that I saw. So contact for the same little thing, marijuana. John from Eastern Parkway, you're on WNYC. Hello, John.
Yeah, I live in the vicinity of Eastern Parkway, in Utica. There's a blatant disrespect for blacks in the area. I don't know if it's because of the rookie cops. I think it might be because of the rookie cops. We have a lot of rookie cops on the parkway, and they're constantly harassing black pedestrians and mostly the bikers, the bicycle riders, always harassing them. Very aggressive. Now, Saturday night, I have on video, there's a black cyclist riding in the middle of the parkway. There's a lane in the parkway, in the middle of the parkway for cyclists. And they actually arrested a guy. Like, four or five SWAT cars came up, and they took him down. Now, I told them, listen, I have this on video. This is wrong. Why are you actually harassing this guy? You have a lot of white guys riding right here in the parkway. No lights in the cycle, you know. I guess, I don't know why they arrested him, but after I told them, here, I got this video, well, the community came out. The people in the homes right next to where this happened, they came out and were saying, that's wrong, that's wrong. Anyway, I told them, listen, I have this on video. Within a half an hour, he was released. He came back to the park. He said, hey, they let me go, man, because they got nothing on me. Now, listen.
That's interesting. John, I'm going to go and take another call, but hang on a minute. And if you're interested in sending us a copy of that video, my producer is going to talk to you about that. And we're going to go on next to Jean in Flatbush. Hello, Jean.
How are you guys doing?
I'm all right, thank you.
Great conversation. The one point that I wanted to make really strongly is that with the broken windows, these are a lot of low-level offenses, and the police seem unable to interact with the community in a great way. The excessive use of force, the inability to calm situations, to escalate situations, this is something that the police need to be trained on. And I think if we're going to discuss broken windows, we need to have a discussion on how the police interact with the community members that they're supposed to be serving, that they're supposed to be protecting. Because in any of these incidences that we've seen over the last 3 weeks, the police did nothing to de-escalate the situation. I would say, as a matter of fact, that they escalated what was happening to the death of one person.
And in fact, so, Commissioner Bratton said training is definitely one of the responses to the Eric Garner incident that is needed. So, Jean, thank you very much for that. And on that point, Josmar Trujillo, my guest from the group New Yorkers Against Bratton, do you give Bratton points at least for pulling the rookie cops that Ray Kelly had deployed on their own, you know, flooding some of the high crime neighborhoods? I believe Bratton's policy is, look, these rookie cops don't have enough training. A lot of them did not grow up in the neighborhoods that they're policing and don't understand the context. And so he's pairing them with more experienced cops. And I don't know if that's making a difference citywide, systemically. We're hearing about these individual incidents, obviously, which are getting most of the attention. But maybe it is doing something to pair the rookie cops with more experienced officers when they flood the streets in the high crime areas in terms of quality of contact with the community. I don't know. Do you have an opinion about that?
Yeah. Let me just say that Officer Pantaleo was on the force for 8 years. When he, you know, he was not a rookie when he interacted with Eric Garner. And on the point about training, chokeholds have been banned since 1993, since before Anthony Baez, who was famously choked, also under Bratton, by Frank Lavoti in 1994. So this is not an issue of rookies. This is not an issue, I think, in my opinion, of training. NYPD is one of the most trained police departments in the country. It's an issue of culture, and it's an issue of brutality that happens systematically. And until people really kind of understand that dynamic, that it's not just training, there are no band-aids to this, we're going to continue to see this. You know, when I spoke to Iris Baez and Nicholas Hayward, they've been marching and they've been working at this for 20 years, and they're still pushing ahead even now. because I think that they understand that if we don't do something different this time, so it's not just about necessarily a training. You know, that Bratton did a top-to-down review in the beginning of the year, and he didn't seem to think that training was a problem back then. Until we see this as a bigger issue, we're not going to address the fundamental problems at the NYPD.
Mayor de Blasio is back from Italy now, and he's obviously going to have to address this topic when he does some public appearances today after his first night of beauty rest in Gracie Mansion. Your group is called New Yorkers Against Bratton. Bratton is de Blasio's police commissioner. Are you New Yorkers Against de Blasio?
I mean, by extension, yes. I mean, when we heard that de Blasio was going to bring back Bratton, we thought it was actually even worse than, let's say, if Joe Loda had won the election, because we knew that what Joe Loda was saying from the very beginning.
The Republican candidate.
The Republican candidate. But the fact that de Blasio was able to campaign on this rhetoric of reform and then bring back what, you know, I think a lot of people will back me up, was a man who laid the groundwork not only for stop and frisk, but to the continued criminalization of low-income communities. I think it's absolutely falls on the mayor, and I think that it was more disappointing that we had this kind of rhetoric and this narrative when we had the return of Bratton.
Josmar Trujillo from the group New Yorkers Against Bratton, and we probably will see later today what Mayor de Blasio has to say about these various incidents on video and broken windows and some of the underlying questions. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much, Brian.